Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Pastor. Please bless him and the message. Open our hearts and our ears to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. And if you could just turn me up just a little bit, 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And if you look down at verse number 1, 2 Chronicles 25, and look at verse number 1, and I'm sorry, maybe just turn me down just a bit, 2 Chronicles 25. I'm thankful that our song leaders allow me to lead music during the conference. I don't usually lead music that much. I think it's affecting my voice. So pray for me, please. 2 Chronicles 25, look down at verse number 1. The Bible says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And we read about this king of Judah, and if you remember the at this point in the history of the nation of Israel, it's been divided into two nations. You have the northern nation of Israel with the capital in Samaria, and you've got the southern nation of Judah with the capital in Jerusalem. All of the kings of the north did wrong, but some of the kings of the south did right some of the time. And this is Amaziah. The Bible says in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And of course, we read later on in his life, he messes up and he sins. Look at verse 3. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. So if you remember from the previous chapter, if you've read this before, there had been a conspiracy to assassinate the father of Amaziah, who is Joash. And when Amaziah becomes king, he basically slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. Look at verse 4. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the father, but every man shall die for his own sin. So we see that Amaziah has a little bit of fear of the Lord in his initial part of his life. He's got some respect for God and his word. He slew the man that slew his father, but he did not take revenge upon their children because of what was written in the Bible, that every man shall die for his own sin. Look at verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains. Now, Amaziah is going to go to war here in a little bit, and he begins to gather his military and to put things in order to go to war. The Bible says he gathered Judah and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds and captains to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. So he's getting ready to go to battle. He gathers all of his military, gathers everyone who's available to go to war, and he finds that he's got 300,000 soldiers. He's got 300,000 men available to be able to go to war and to be able to fight the battles that need to be fought. But for Amaziah, this was not enough. He needed to know that if he went into battle, that the odds were stacked in his favor, that he would be able to win the battle. And even with 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war, he felt like he needed more. So in verse 6 we read, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel. So remember, he is the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and he goes to the northern kingdom of Israel, which is a separate nation at this point. Sometimes there's friends, sometimes they're not. And he goes to them and he hired an additional 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. He hires mercenaries. He hires men that are willing to go into battle and fight. These men were not sold out for the cause of Amaziah. These men were not interested in the cause of Amaziah. They were there because they were going to get paid. They were there because they charged him 100 talents of silver, but really it wasn't just the 100 talents of silver. It was that they knew that when they battle and when they win, they'd be able to take of the spoil of that battle. They'd be able to take the goods off of the corpses that are left on the battlefield. They knew that they would be able to take from the cities and the places that they were at. So he hired these 100,000 additional soldiers to guarantee that he would win the battle. Now, this is all just kind of by way of introduction. I want to give you some side applications before I get into the main application of the sermon this morning. But we learned some things from this story just on the side, all right? Just by way of introduction. Look at verse 7. It says, "But there came a man of God to him, saying, 'O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee.'" Don't you hate that? When you've got all your plans situated, you've made all your plans and you got your checklist and you've decided this is what I'm going to do and this is how it's going to go and this is how it's going to play out and I've got it all. I've got all my ducks in order. But then there came a man of God to him. But then there comes the man of God and says, "Well, actually, you're doing it all wrong. Actually, that's not what God wants from you." Notice he says, "O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee." Now, one thing we learn from here is that, you know, God doesn't necessarily want you to be affiliating yourself with everybody. There were some people here who God says, "I don't want you to hang out with them. I don't want you to go into battle with them. I don't want you to fight the battles with them." He says, "Let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel." Listen to me. As Christians, we can learn an application here that we don't have to, look, we don't need to join up with every other Christian, every ecumenical movement, every other person. There are some battles that God wants us to fight just on our own. Look, I think we've gotten to the point where we don't even need to be necessarily joining up with the old IFB. The old IFB has gone far enough away from the things of God that I think it's safe to say the Lord is not with them. You know, and it's interesting. I was telling some of the guys yesterday, you know, this is the third annual Red Hot Preaching Conference. And every Red Hot Preaching Conference, if you've noticed, it's got a theme to it. Now, we don't give it a theme. You know, people often ask me, "What's the theme for the conference?" And I'm like, "It's red hot preaching. That's the theme." You know, you just come and you hear some red hot preaching. But, you know, if you remember the first theme of 2016, what was the theme of the Red Hot Preaching Conference? It was against the homos, right? That's back when we were having those protests and all those filthy reprobates were protesting our church, right? And everybody came in for that Red Hot Preaching Conference, and we were just preaching against the sodomites and their perverseness and pedophilia. That was the theme of 2016. Remember last year? The theme was preaching against the old IFB. Do you remember that? Every sermon was against the old IFB, and the old IFB is lazy and liberal, and they're, you know, the Spirit of the Lord has departed from them. You say, what was the theme this year? Well, here's what's interesting. You know, this year, I don't know if you caught it, but almost every sermon there was a theme about the preachers telling us about back when they were in an old IFB church and the pedophiles and the homosexuals that they encountered in those churches. So year one, the theme was homos. Year two, the theme was old IFB. Year three, the theme was homos in the old IFB, you know? And so I don't know what next year is going to be about, but I just, you know, I just thought that was interesting. It was kind of a trinity of years there for that application from the conference. But we learned that there are some people we don't need. They've gone so far down. They've gone so far away that we no longer need to fight with them. We can separate from them. There's another thing we can learn from this passage. Look at verse 8. He says, "But if thou wilt go, do it." He says, it's interesting what the man of God says. He says, "Don't go. Don't go, but if thou wilt go, do it." He says, look, if you're going to go ahead and do what God told you not to do, you better be strong for the battle. Now, notice what he says. It kind of sounds like he's encouraging him, but he's being a little sarcastic here. He says, "God shall make thee fall before the enemy." He says, look, God told you not to go. If you decide you're going to go anyway, he says, you better be ready, buddy. Because God is going to be the one that makes you fall before the enemy. You say, why? For God hath the power to help and to cast down. You know, something else we can learn from this passage, just by way of introduction, is that God is the one in the lives of believers that prospers us, that helps us succeed, or that causes us to fail. Oftentimes in the life of a Christian, we forget what I like to call the God factor. You know, we look at unbelievers and we say, well, it works for them, You know, guys will say in business, well, it works for them. They lie and they cheat and they steal and they suck up and they stab people, you know, in their back and they do this and they get the promotion. So maybe I can do that and maybe it'll work for me. And listen to me, you better just understand this right now. In the Christian life, you don't play the game of life by the same rules that the world does. It might work for them, but it doesn't work for you and I. Why? Because when we play the game of life, we have to consider the God factor. The fact that God is the one that has the power to help and to cast out. And by the way, there's no neutrality with God. He's either going to help you or he's going to cast you down. He says, if you're going to go ahead, listen to me. Some of you, you've heard preaching from the Word of God this week. And the Bible has been very clear about what you should be doing. And you decided, well, I'm just going to go ahead anyway. I know what the man of God said. I know what the word of God said, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. And this man of God wants to tell you, but if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle, because God shall make thee fall before thine enemy. Why? For God hath power to help and to cast down. Look, God is the one that can help you to prosper. Or God is the one that can ruin your life. There's a third thing we can learn from this passage. Look at verse 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God. Now look, the question that Amaziah asks is a valid question. He says, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? He says, I already gave him the down payment. He said, I already gave them 100 talents of Israel. They're not going to give it back. They're not going to give me a refund. You're telling me I can't go into battle with these 100,000 soldiers, but I've already invested into this idea. Now you're telling me it's the wrong idea. And by the way, it'd be better to just make sure you understand what God's will is in the matter before you start investing into any idea. But here we have a situation where he didn't know and he was doing something and he thought he was doing something that was fine. And then God comes by. God sends the man of God to tell him, hey, you're doing the wrong thing. And he says, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. I want you to keep your place there in 2 Chronicles 25. That's our text for this morning. But go with me just real quickly to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Towards the end of the New Testament, if you find all the T books, they're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And let me just say this. Still, by way of introduction, one more thing before we get into the main application of the sermon this morning. Something we learned from this story is that we should never, listen to me, we should never make decisions based solely on money. If you make a decision that will affect your life based solely on finances, if you are asking the question, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have invested? Listen to me, mark it down, write it down, take a picture and remember this ugly face telling you that you will live to regret it. Amen. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Word of God tells me that. Whenever you make a decision based on money, you're making the wrong decision, period. Whenever you make a decision based solely on money, you're making the wrong decision, period. I'm not saying that money should not be factored into every decision we make. I'm not saying that finances should not be factored into every decision we make. But when you make a decision, you decide that you're going to do something or not do something, and the only consideration that has been taken is finances, mark it down, you're making the wrong decision. So how do you know that? Well, look at 1 Timothy chapter. First of all, how do we know that? Have you read the Bible? Have you read the book of Genesis? The famine comes, what do? They go down into Egypt. What happens in Egypt? They always get in trouble. They get in trouble in Egypt. Have you read the book of Ruth? Elimelech, there's a famine. He goes into Moab. Why? Just to die in Moab. Just so his sons will die in Moab. Just so his wife will come back one day and say, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Why? She says, I'm coming back full of bitterness. Why? Because that is the result that happens whenever you make a decision based on money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice, God doesn't care about your 401k. God doesn't care about your retirement account. God doesn't care about what neighborhood you live in or what car you drive. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, some of you need to be reminded of this, it is certain we can carry nothing out. You can't take it with you. Remember, Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For he brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Are you discontent this morning? Some of you are discontent this morning. You're not content with what God has given you. But look, you ought to be content. Do you have food and raiment? Do you have food and raiment? As far as I can tell, all of you got raiment on. Some of you could use a little more raiment. But you got raiment on. There's donuts in the break room. You've got food. You ought to be content. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Verse 9. But they that, notice these words. But they that, it doesn't say they that are rich. It says they that will be rich. The word will there is talking about desire. My will, what's your will for your life? My will, not God's will, my will is that I be rich. Well, look, when you have a desire to be rich, when you have a desire for finances, when you make the decisions of your life based on finances, but they that will be rich, I'm telling you, fall into temptation and a snare. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times. I've been pastoring now in September for 8 years, and I've seen it more times than I would like to admit, where you see a young man or a young woman or a young couple or an old man or an old woman or an older couple, and they love God and they're zealous for the things of God, and then just it seems like in 1 week something changes. And all of a sudden they're not talking about the same things they used to talk about. All of a sudden all they're worried about is money. And now they're starting to make decisions based on money. And you see them get backslidden. You see them get, you know, they eventually quit on God. And it's like, well, we knew that was going to happen. The Bible tells us, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now look, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money. God's not against you having money. God's against you loving money. God's against you desiring money. God's against you making decisions based on money. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which will some covet it after. Notice what it says. They have erred from the faith. People get backslidden and leave. Their priorities change and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Keep your place there in 1 Timothy. We're going to come right back to it. Actually, just stay there. Let me say this. That was all introduction. Is that all right? You say, Pastor, what's the point of the sermon? Here's the point of the sermon. The sermon has one point. Now, we're not even close to being done, all right? What's the point of the sermon? We have Amaziah, who had made some decisions, taken some counsel, decided that he was going to go into a battle. And the people of God that were with him were not enough. He needed to go out and hire himself some friends. He invests 100 talents into this military. The man of God shows up and says, God can help you win, but you got to get rid of your friends. You got to get rid of this thing. And he says, yeah, but I've invested into it. Yeah, but I've invested money into it. Yes, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God says, cut your losses. Walk away. Leave it alone. He says, yes, you will lose something, but the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You say, Pastor, what are you preaching about this morning? I'm preaching about the fact that when you and I make wrong investments, when we invest into the wrong thing, and then we realize by the word of God or by the man of God that we've made a mistake, we should be willing to cut the losses and walk away from the investment, because the Lord is able to give us much more than this. You say, Pastor Man, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to? How does this apply to me? You know what I'm talking to this morning? I'm talking to the wife. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm talking to the wife who thinks that her college degree will have been a waste of time and energy and money if she chooses to stay home with her children. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14 says this, I will therefore. We saw God, you know, we saw some people's will for their life. Let's look at God's will. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. This is God's will. He says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know what God's will is for every young woman? Is that she marry, bear children, guide the house. Amen. Notice, it doesn't say anything there about being the CEO of eBay. It doesn't say anything in there about being the governor of the state of California. It doesn't say anything in there about being the president of the United States or the secretary of state. God's will for your life is that you marry young ladies, bear children, guide the house. And you say, Pastor Mendez, when you preach like that, what is a common question you get? You know, a common question I get is a young wife will say, yeah, but what about my student loans? Yeah, but you don't understand. I've invested a lot of time and money and energy into getting this degree and that degree and setting myself up for this career. And they ask this question, but what shall we do for the 100 talents of student loans? You say, what's the answer to your question? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. Cut the losses. Look, you took some bad advice. You went down the wrong road. You invested in something that you probably shouldn't have. But God's word says that his will is that you cut the losses, walk away, stay home. You say, but what shall be done? Let God deal with it. God can help you prosper. Amen. Do we believe that God has power to help and to cast down? Do we believe that God is able to give thee much more than this? Now, please understand this. Please understand this. Go back to 2 Chronicles 25. Notice what happens. Because Amaziah, he does the right thing. Look at verse 10. 2 Chronicles 25. Now keep your place there in 1 Timothy. I should have told you that earlier. I apologize. Keep your place there in 1 Timothy. But go to 2 Chronicles 25. Look at verse 10. Then Amaziah, remember the man of God said, cut your losses. Just consider it wasted. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah, 2 Chronicles 25, 10, separated them. To wit the army. So he said, okay. He sends them home. To wit the army that was come to him out of Ephraim. To go home again. He said, look, go home, guys. I know I paid you. We don't need your services. Keep the money. Go home. Notice the response. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah. And they returned home in great anger. Look, when you decide to cut your losses, when you decide that you've invested in the wrong thing, when you decide that you put money towards the wrong thing, and now you realize that maybe I didn't need to go and get that degree, since God's will for my life is to stay home and guide the house, and bear children, guide the house. You know, I made some wrong decisions. And listen, ladies, just listen to me very carefully. When you cut the losses and decide, yeah, I invested in the wrong thing, the Lord is able to give me much more than this, just expect that mom and dad are going to be angry. Just expect that some friend or some co-worker or somebody is going to say, yeah, I can't believe you're doing that. When Amaziah said, go home, guys, you know what? How they responded? They were angry. Their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Why? Because they wanted him to follow through with his bad investment. If you kept your place in 1 Timothy, go backwards into 1 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy, past 2 Timothy, into 1 Thessalonians. What are we talking about today? We're talking about cutting the losses. When you invest in the wrong thing, when the question has to be asked, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? The answer to the question is this, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And listen to me, ladies, when you cut the losses, you say, yeah, I wasted time, I wasted energy, I spent time in college, I got that degree, now it's going to go to waste, now I'm not going to use it, now I'm not going to be that business person, now I'm not going to have that career, now I'm not going to have that. Listen to me, when you raise those kids for God, when they grow up and they rise up, like Proverbs 31 says, and call you blessed, you will be thankful that you made the exchange. You will be thankful that you cut the losses. You will have realized that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. See, Pastor Jimenez, who you're talking to this morning? I'm talking to the husband who isn't sure. He isn't sure. He actually has a wife that'd like to quit her job.
He actually has a wife that would like to stay home and homeschool the kids. But he's not sure that if he allows his wife to quit her job and stay home, that they can make it financially. He's not sure that they can actually do it on a single income. Say, Pastor Menace, what do you say to that husband? I tell him the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. Are you there in 1 Thessalonians 4? Look at verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11 says this, and that we study to be quiet and to do your own business. And notice, this is a good verse for young men. And to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. And listen to me, guys. When you walk honestly, when you work hard, when you study to be quiet and you do your own business and you walk right with God, notice the last part of verse 12, that ye may have lack of nothing. I don't know if I allow my wife to quit her job. I don't know if my single income can supply our needs. The Bible says if you be quiet and work hard with your hands, if you work hard, you'll have lack of nothing. God will take care of it. God will take care of you. God will take, you say, what are you telling me? Here's what I'm telling you. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You say, why don't we make these decisions? You know why we don't make these decisions? Because we actually don't believe the Bible. Because we don't want to give up our security of 100,000 soldiers just in case. Just in case. Go to Colossians chapter 1. You're there in 1 Thessalonians. Just go backwards into the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Say, Pastor Menace, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the guy that has a job. He has a career. But his career keeps him from going to church. You got some job that has you working every Sunday. You've got some job that has you working every weekend. You've got some job that keeps you from the things of God. And listen to me, the Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And some people say, oh, well, that's not talking about church attendance. That's talking about quitting church in general. As long as I don't quit church in general, you know, as long as I show up once every 6 weeks, I haven't really quit church. That verse doesn't apply to me. Listen to me. It says that some have the manner, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. What does the word manner mean? It means custom or habit. Here's what he's saying. He's saying some people have a custom or a habit of forsaking the assembly. That's not talking about quitting church. Look, once you quit church one time, it's done. You don't have a habit of, it's talking about you just don't show up to church. You just don't show up to Sunday morning service and Sunday night service and Wednesday night service. You go weeks and weeks without church. And you say, yeah, but I've got this going on and that going on. And I've already invested so much into it. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. Colossians 1:18 says, but he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And by the way, you young people, look, before you even get into the career field, don't go into some career that'll keep you from church. I'm going to grow up to be a surgeon. Why? So you can skip church every other week? I'm going to grow up to be an air traffic controller. Why? So you can not go to church all the time? I'd rather go get some labor job as a tile worker or an electrician or a carpenter and work hard with my hands and be quiet and study hard and provide for my family and be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Yeah, but I can make more money. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. And it's not always money. It's not always money. Maybe, yes, maybe you can have your 100,000 soldiers and lose your own kids or lose your wife. Or lose your testimony. I'm just telling you, sometimes you say, yeah, but I've already gone to college for that. Then cut your losses. Good. Then walk away. Amen. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, go there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 says this. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Don't forget that whatever you have it because God gave it to you. Remember, we don't play by the rules that the world plays. There's a God factor that can help you or cast you down. For it is he that giveth thee power to get well, that he may establish his covenant, which we swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. You know, at our church, we're blessed to have men that run their own businesses. And what they do isn't glamorous. What they do isn't, you know, you wouldn't look at it and say, wow, you're, and you know, some of these guys, they make a lot more money than these college graduates. And I think to myself, how in the world do you make that much money doing what you do? And I just got to believe that there's a God factor. Amen. You go to college for 4 years, you make $50,000. We got guys making $100,000 a year doing something that you think, I can't believe they would do those things. You know what? The Lord is able to give, thee much more than this. Amen. And their wives love them. And their kids are soul winners. Amen. And the Lord has blessed them. I'm just telling you, do you believe the Bible? You believe the Bible? Do you actually believe what the Bible says? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You say, Pastor Amanda, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the couple who's considering homeschooling their children, but they're afraid about the cost. They're afraid about the time. They're afraid about whether they can even do it or not. You know what some people say? They say, yeah, but I've already paid my taxes. The taxes provide a public school education for. I've already paid. You know, when you homeschool, you pay for your kids' education twice. You pay your taxes and you cut those losses. You pay your taxes and you walk away from the 100 talents and you say, why? Because the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The Bible says you need to have your kids with you when you're in the house, when you're along the way, when you go to bed, when you wake up. What's he say? You need to have your kids with you all the time. You need to be teaching them all of the time. See, it is God's will that you homeschool your children. I realize there are people, single parents, because of the decisions they made in their lives, they're not able to do those things. I get that. But look, if you're able to and you're choosing not to out of convenience, you ought to get right with God. God is guiding you. God is guiding you to home. You say, well, I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if I can afford the investment and the time, and I'm not sure. You know what I learned long ago? Somebody told me this. Where God guides, God provides. Amen. God will take care of it. God will do it for God. Look, if God is guiding you to do it, just count the loss. Don't ask, but what shall be done for the 100 talents? Just realize that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Why? Because God has the power to help and to cast down. Go to Deuteronomy 22. You're there in Deuteronomy 6. Go to Deuteronomy 22. Say, Pastor Jimenez, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the ladies who have invested lots of money into the wrong type of clothing. Some of you put 100 talents into the wrong wardrobe. And it's a little too low, and it's a little too tight, and it's a little too high. It's too low in the wrong place and too high in the wrong place and too tight in all of the place. And you've got your little pants on. And you say, well, I didn't know God had, you know, I didn't know. And then one day the man of God showed up with the word of God. You ready for it? Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. The Bible says there is some clothing that a woman wears that a man should not put on. Amen. And there is some clothing that a man puts on that a woman should not put on. And you say, well, how do you know it's talking about pants? Well, is it talking about a wristwatch? Is it talking about socks? You know, for years and years and years and years and years in our society, men wore pants, women wore dresses. That's the way it went. That's it. Look, in the Bible, all you ever see is men wearing pants. And by the way, Jesus wore pants. Amen. Yeah, but I saw Jesus. Look, you saw the picture you saw of Jesus was drawn by a sodomite. And they're trying to make themselves feel better about themselves. So they draw Jesus with long hair and a skirt on. Jesus wore pants. The men in the Bible wore breeches. They wore pants. Now, the only thing you see men wearing in the Bible, pants. For centuries, men wore pants, women wore dresses. And look, you get all mad. You get all mad when you go to the grocery store and you've got some guy in his wife's, you know, Sunday dress with hair on his legs and a 5 o'clock shadow. And you walk away all mad. I can't believe that guy'd be wearing a dress. It started with you women putting on a pair of pants. That's how it started. First step to the transgender movement, first step to the mess we find ourselves today was back in the 30s and in the 40s and in the 50s when they decided it was okay for a woman to put on a pair of pants. Right. Say, yeah, the world's going to do what they're going to do. You know what? The world's going to do what they're going to do, but how about you, Christian? Amen. But Pastor Jimenez, you don't understand. I spent $85 on this pair of jeans. Okay. First of all, you ever heard of a place called Walmart? $85 on a pair of jeans? That can't be right with God. You can't be right with God. I mean, I don't got a verse for you, but there's got to be something wrong with that. I got all the, you know, I got my clothes here. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Go to the book of Psalms. If you open up your Bible right in the middle, you'll find the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you got the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 7. Not just pants. Not just pants. It's all of the worldly clothing. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10 says this, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot." You know the Bible says that there's clothing that a harlot would wear? Listen to me, young ladies. Are you a prostitute? You a whore? I don't like you using those words. Those are Bible words. The words of the Lord are pure words. Are you a whore? I'm not a whore. Why you dress like one? You for sale? You a prostitute? I'm not. Why you dress like one? Instead of a heart, she is. By the way, you want to know a good? You want to know if a girl is a good girl? Guys, let me just give you some tips for dating. Okay. Well, number one, deodorant. you think that's her best behavior? If she's loud and stubborn while you're dating, you're in for it once she's got that ring on her finger, buddy. Hey, ladies, let me give you a hint. If he's mean to you while you're dating, that's him being nice. Hey, if he can't find a job while you're dating, that's him. I'm just trying to help you out here because you say, Pastor, why do you preach like that? I spend a lot of time in marriage counseling. I need a break. I'm just trying to help you before you get there. Meek and quiet, that's what you should be looking for. Not loud and stubborn, not dressed like a whore. Yeah. Pastor says, "Yeah, but I spent a lot of money. Spent a lot of money on this. What should be done? What shall we do for the 100 talents? Count it a loss. Walk away from the investment. Amen. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Right. Yeah. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13, New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 13. You know what always happens when you preach like this? Some woman goes home. "Well, I guess I'm going to put away these pants in the top shelf of my closet. You know, just in case. Just in case of what? Just in case God changes his mind? Just in case Deuteronomy 22:5 makes it out of the Bible? No, you know, just in case you get backslidden, that's what you're saying. Just in case your friends were right and this whole Christianity thing was just a phase, just in case. Just in case this whole Christianity thing wasn't really real. Hey, you know what? Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Pastor Jimenez, what should I do with my pair of pants? I'm a young lady. What should I do with my pair of pants? You throw them in the trash can. You put them in the fireplace. You burn them up. You walk away from the investment. And I promise you, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Say, Pastor Jimenez, who are you talking to? Go to Psalm 127. Keep your place in Romans. We're going to come right back to it. Go to Psalm 127. Who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the couple who chooses to have no children solely on financial reasons. "Well, we would have children, I just can't afford them. We would have children, I just don't think that we can provide for them. We're not going to have children. So So my wife's going to go on birth control pills that kill kids, by the way. We're going to go on some birth control pills that take the life of children. If you don't believe me, look it up. Or see me after service. I'd be happy to explain to you. But we can't afford it. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. See that word heritage there? That word heritage, that same word heritage in our King James Bible, the same Hebrew word that's translated heritage, the King James translators in our King James Bible translated that word as inheritance and possession. Lo, children are an heritage. They are a possession of the Lord. When God gives you children, those children are not yours.
Amen.
God has blessed us with 5 children. We have our 6th child on the way, and none of those kids belong to me. None of those kids belong to our wife. They are on loan from God for us to return back to Him. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. By the way, children aren't, it's not a punishment, it's a reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Don't miss this. They shall not be ashamed. You know that word ashamed means embarrassed or humiliated? You know God says when you have your quiver full of children that are arrows, you will not be embarrassed. You will not be humiliated. You will not be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. Let me tell you something. They are God's kids. God will take care of them. God will take care of them. You know, every time, I've heard other pastors say this, and I can tell you the truth. When we were young and we were struggling financially, it seems like every time that my wife would get pregnant, I'd get a raise or I'd get some bonus or something would happen. Somehow we'd get the money to be able to pay the midwife, and we'd get the money to, we'd be able to, we couldn't afford another apartment, then something happened, and we were able to get a bigger place or whatever it might be. You know what I found out? That those kids belong to God, and God's going to take care of them.
Amen.
Sometimes, we have a kid. I'm like, okay, God, you got to feed this kid. And maybe there's something left over for me, too. It's the Lord's heritage. It's the Lord's possession. You don't worry. Look, God will take care of those kids, but we don't have the faith to believe that. I'm just here to tell you the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Go back to Romans. You keep your place there? Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12. You say, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the individuals. I'm talking to the teenager sitting in this room right now. I'm talking to the young person and the old person who has invested a whole lot of money. You've downloaded a whole lot of music at 99 cents a pop. You've downloaded a whole lot of movies. You've got all sorts of DVDs and magazines and CDs, if they still make those, of things that you ought not have. And you spent a lot of money on worldly entertainment. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants you to live a holy life. God wants you to live a life that is holy and be not, don't miss this, conformed to this world. Our music ought not be conformed to this world. Look, I don't believe in Christian marijuana. I don't believe in Christian heroin. I don't believe in Christian prostitutes. And if I don't believe in Christian marijuana and Christian prostitutes and Christian heroin, I don't believe in Christian rock and roll either. I don't believe in Christian soft rock either. I don't believe I like that country western, but it's Christian. It's still of the world. And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, Pastor, what do I do? I've invested 100 talents. Walk away. Delete them.
Amen.
Throw them in the trash. Be done with them. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You just walk away from the investment by faith. You just believe that God will take care of it. God will take care of it. And you know what? You will find that the Lord will bless you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're there in Romans. Go to 1 Corinthians. Say, Pastor Mendes, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the couple who's not ready to get married. For whatever reason, they're not able to get married yet, but they're living together in fornication. And you walk up to them and say, you know, the Bible says you shouldn't be living in fornication. And they're like, yeah, but we already signed the lease. And we already purchased the furniture. And we're splitting the rent. And you know, but what shall be done for the 100 talents which I have given to the landlord? Say, what do you tell him, Pastor? I tell him the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. And by the way, I'm not preaching on fornication necessarily, but kids, you better realize every sin that you do is outside the body, except for sexual sins. You know that it's rare that some woman needs to speak to my wife or some man needs to speak to me in my office. You know it's rare that some grown 40-year-old man says, Pastor, I need to talk to you. You know, when I was a kid, I stole a sucker from the liquor store. I stole a bag of M&Ms from the 7-Eleven. You know, usually people get over those things, but you know, I'm constantly talking to people about sexual sins from years and years and years ago. It stays with you. It scars you. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's what the Bible says. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Listen, young lady, it's not your body. It belongs to God. Listen, young man, that's not your body. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Say, what do I do, Pastor? I'm already living with a person I'm not married to. We've signed the lease. We bought the furniture on credit. That's another sermon. What do I do? What do I do? You cut the investment. You just realize you made a bad investment. You walk away. The Lord is able to give thee much more than that. And by the way, you young lady, have some respect for yourself. Have some respect for you. And you guys have some respect for yourself, but especially you young ladies. You give him everything without expecting anything in return. Make him put a ring on that finger. Make him go get a job and save up some money and buy you a nice ring and have a nice wedding. That's what the Bible says. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Say, Pastor, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking about the individual who's not sure if they should start tithing consistently and purposefully. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I can make it on 90%. I'm not sure if I can make it on 90%. You know what? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 says, will a man rob God? And by the way, that's what you're doing when you withhold your tithe. You're robbing God. You owe him the tithe. You pay your tithe. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You say, Pastor Meadows, are you a prosperity preacher? You know what? I'm not a prosperity preacher, but Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 is in the Bible. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall he, the vine cast his fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You say, Pastor Mendes, can you afford to tithe? I can't afford not to tithe. And remember the God factor. There's no neutrality with God. You're either with him or he's against you. And you either just pay your tithe and say, I believe that God is able to give me much more than this, or you let God cast you down. He's going to get the tithe out of you somehow. Right. Look, if God's going to get his tithe out of me anyway, I'd rather it go to support real, genuine missionaries like Brother Stuckey was preaching about? I'd rather go to start real churches that are going to preach the gospel than it go to the mechanic. Then it go to the hospital bill. You can get it out of you anyway. At least when it goes to the local church, I get rewards in heaven. But do you believe that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this? So you're talking to, Pastor. Go to Matthew chapter 6. You're there, Malachi. Just the next book over, New Testament. Matthew chapter 6. Who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the individual who's not sure. They're not sure if they should commit to commute to church because, you know, the gas is expensive. You know, I'm thankful here at Mary Baptist Church, I can tell you the amount of people that drive here every week consistently, faithful. I mean, we've got individuals and families. They're just faithful. And, you know, whenever I think of them, I pray for them. You say, why? Because it's an expense. It costs money and time. When you got to drive 2 hours, you got to start your day 2 hours before everybody else starts their day. You got on the road 2 hours before everybody else has to get on the road. Say, Pastor Jimenez, what do you think about those people? I think that God is going to bless them. I believe that whatever it costs them to put gas in that car, the wear and tear on those wheels, I believe that the Lord is able to give them much more than this. Amen. And it's not necessarily money, but maybe it's a blessing on their family. Maybe it's the raising of their children. Maybe it's their marriage. But God, look, you just walk, you say, man, yeah, it's an investment. But I believe the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Matthew 6:31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Matthew 6:32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't miss this. And all these things shall be added unto you. All what things? The things in verse 31, the what shall we eat and what shall we drink and wherewithal shall we be clothed? God says, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, if you put me first, I'll make sure all these things shall be added unto you. Now, he didn't say you're going to live in a mansion. He didn't say you're going to drive a Bentley. You're dead sure not going to buy $85 nothing, all right? But, you know, God will take care of it if you seek first the kingdom of God. Verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the thing of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You say, Pastor, you know, I've been thinking about commuting. So, you know, we have people here in this conference from all over the country. And some of you have a church, a good church. You can't find one in your area, but there's one that you could drive to. And it's 2 hours away. It's an hour and a half away. It's 2.5 hours away. And you've been considering, you know, making the commute, but you're not sure. You know, the gas is expensive and the car and the vehicle and the time and the energy. I'm just here to tell you the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Amen. You know, this story that we're talking about, Amaziah, we've been applying it to money. The application is money. That's the primary application. But it's not just money. You apply this principle to any investment that you have made. Any investment that you have made, and you say, yeah, but I'm so invested into it, just walk away. If it's not God's will, if it's not what God has for your life, just walk away and realize that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Hey, Pastor, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the person who knows they need to separate themselves from some friends and maybe even some family. And they know that they've got some friends that are influencing them the wrong way. And they know they've got some family that are influencing them the wrong way. And they know they've got some people they need to separate themselves from. But they say, yeah, but we've been friends since the third grade. I've got a lot invested into this relationship. What shall we be done for the years that I've invested into this relationship? You know what? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. Matthew 10:34 says this, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come, don't miss this, to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That probably would have happened anyway. Verse 36, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Don't miss verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You know God's been dealing with you about some friend, some family member, some people. They're dragging you down. They're keeping you from following Christ. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Are you worthy? Yeah, but I've got so much invested. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You know what I love about the Red Hot Preaching Conference? What I love about the Red Hot Preaching Conference is it feels like a family reunion. Amen. But it feels like the family reunion you want to go to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It feels like the family you actually like.
Amen.
Because the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Say, Pastor, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the individuals who know they're going to a bad church. But they don't want to leave because their family and close friends go there. You know what's interesting to me? Pastor Romero was preaching about, sick in the head. You know what's sick in the head to me? I remember having a talk with Pastor Anderson years ago about this. You know that there are people who live in Tempe, Arizona, who listen to Pastor Anderson's sermons every week, who donate money online, who send emails and write notes and put comments. They live in Tempe, Arizona, and they don't go to Faithful Word Baptist Church. And you know, it's true of all the churches in our movement. There's people that live in Sacramento, California. They listen to Pastor Anderson, they listen to Pastor Romero, they listen to me online. Say, how do you know? Because they show up once a year for the Pastor Anderson Easter. You know what I'm talking about? The Pastor Anderson Easter? All the pastors know what I'm talking about. You have Pastor Anderson come to preach. All these people show up. You see them once a year. Easter and Christmas. They don't go to church. They love Pastor Anderson. They love Pastor Romero. They love Pastor May. They don't go to church. They go to some lame church, some liberal church, some church that doesn't preach right, some church that doesn't do anything. Why do you go to that church? Well, my parents. Well, I got friends there. Pastor's real nice to me. Well, yeah, you may want to stay there. you may need to just cut the cost. Count the cost. Cut the investment. Walk away. I believe the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Matthew 12:46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren. Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus is preaching. He's preaching a sermon. He's in church. He's having a ministry. And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Now, here's the question I got. Why are they standing without? Why aren't they in the service? Why are they outside of the service? Why aren't they in the group? Why are they outside of the group? The Bible goes out of its way to tell us here that his mother and his brethren stood without. Well, you don't have to turn there, but if you remember in John 7:5, the Bible says, for neither did his brethren, talking about Jesus' brethren, believe in him. Now, after the resurrection, his brothers believed on him, but during the ministry of Christ, his brothers did not believe. They were not saved. And here Jesus is in ministry, and his mother and his brethren stood without. They didn't want to be in the service. They didn't want to be part of the group. But they want to talk to Jesus, so they're outside. They're interrupting the service. Look at verse 47. Then one saith unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. He's saying, your mom and dad, they won't even come into the service. They won't even come in to talk to you. But they're asking if you will go out to talk with them. Notice Jesus' response, verse 48. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Verse 49, he stretched out and he stretched forth his hands towards his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Amen. Here's a question I have for Mary, and I have all the respect for Mary. Look, when you're chosen by God to bring forth the Son of God, you're a special lady. Now, we don't need to worship her, but I got all the respect in the world for Mary, but here's the question I have for Mary. Why is she with her siblings that don't believe, or with her children that don't believe? She should have been with Jesus. Right. They didn't believe on him. And before you come down too hard on the brothers of Jesus, you know, I mean, just, you know, put yourself in their shoes. I mean, what would your brother have to do to convince you he's the Son of God? You know, but if anybody knew, she knew. But she was with her other children. Why? Well, I have an investment there. She should have been with Jesus.
Amen.
She should have walked, you know, there's some people, they're in the movement, whatever that means. You know, you don't get in a movement, you get in a church.
Amen.
You understand me?
Right.
I'm in the movement. What is that? What do you mean by, well, I sit in front of a computer every week with popcorn. You know, the same guy is emailing me about popcorn, has popcorn on his belly, watching videos, listening to every little announcement and words. Go to church!
Amen.
Get in church!
Right. Good.
Oh, well, you know, I just, on Sundays, it's our family time. The Lord is able to give me much more than this.
Amen.
See who you're talking to this morning. I'm talking to the old IFB pastor. Go to Acts chapter 20. I'm talking to the old IFB preacher who's listening right now. I'm talking to you, buddy. Secretly listened to all the sermons. Took time out. You got someone else to preach a lame sermon so you could listen to all the Red Hot Preaching Conference sermons. You're in the closet about the new IFB movement. He knows we're right. He'll never admit it, but he watched After the Tribulation 3 times. It's funny how all these, you know, old IFB pastors, they're like, have you watched the IFB? I never heard of it. You watch the March of Zion? I never heard of it. Watch Babylon USA? I never heard of it. You watch New World Order Bible Versions? Oh, yeah, I really like that one. They all like New World Order Bible Versions. They never heard of March of Zion, After the Tribulation? Yeah, right. You're in the closet. He knows. Yeah, old IFB pastor, he's watching these sermons. He knows we're right. He wishes he could preach like this. He wishes, he wants to go soul winning. He loves the Lord. He wants to go soul winning. But you know what? He spent years and years and years and years and years investing into a congregation of trash. He spent years just preaching lame sermon after lame sermon, not offending anybody. And he realizes now, if I stand up and start preaching the truth, these people are going to leave. But what shall be done to the 100 people that are going to leave if I actually start preaching the Bible? You know what? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to provide. Acts 20, verse 26 says, wherefore I take to you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Every man of God ought to be able to say that.
Amen.
Preach the word. It doesn't say preach some of the word. It doesn't say preach the parts of the word that aren't controversial. Preach the word. You say, how do you know he's talking about preaching all of it? Because he says be instant in season, out of season. He says whether people like it or not. Whether it's popular or not, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. What would you say, Pastor? What would you say to that old IFB pastor who's just trying to debate? Should I come out? Should I take a stand? Should I do right? But what about that deacon that I've got that's not even a deacon? What about Mr. Moneybags back there that gives? And what about that family and this family? And what about my alma mater? What are they going to say? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Walk away. Just walk away from the investment. Go to Galatians chapter 1. There in Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. See, Pastor Jimenez, who you talking about? I'm talking about the preacher who knows that he should stop purposely avoiding preaching controversial parts of the Bible. They're not going to touch Leviticus with a 10-foot pole. If they have the guts to preach through the Bible, they're going to go Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. And when they get to Genesis, they're I was sick in chapter 19. Called in sick. It's like, well, wait, why do you go straight to 20? I was sick that week. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Are you a people pleaser? You filled your church with a bunch of people you've been pleasing, tickling their ears, preaching sweetness and light, not preaching the Bible, not preaching the word. You say, what would you say to that pastor who's just on the fence and he's trying to decide, you know, and he realizes if he comes out and he says, you know what, I don't believe the pre-trib rapture. I don't worship the Jews. I'm a soul winner. I'm against the homos. I want to preach hard and my people are going to leave. What would you say? I'd say, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this.
Amen.
I'd say the Lord will take care of it. I'm talking to the individuals who do not have a church. They don't even have a church they could commute to. But, and you say, you know, people call me and they're like, Pastor, I don't have a church in my area. And I don't even have one that I could commute to. I mean, the closest one is 12 hours away. I couldn't even go there. And I think to myself, like, what do you want me to say? You know, we're going to pray and see if God drops you a church from heaven. I'll pray that God drops you into church. It's like, well, you know, move. Well, I can't move. I've got this good job, and we just bought a house, and I'm real comfortable, and I've got the security of my home, and my family's here. But what shall be done for the 100 talents? I just put a down payment on my house. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Hebrews 11, 24. You don't have to turn there. You can turn there if you'd like. The Bible says this about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. What did Moses do? He left mom. He left dad. He moved away from where there was comfort and security, and he took on the reproach of Christ. You know what Moses got at the end of his life? You know what God did for him? The Lord was able to give him much more than this. If Moses would have stayed in Egypt, you know what he would have had? He would have had comfort and riches and pleasure. He would have died, and we would have never heard his name. But when he left Egypt, God used him to do great things. God used him to write scripture. We still talk about, preach about, look up to, know about Moses today. And you know what? He still got his comfort. He still got his pleasure. He still got his riches. He just got him in heaven.
Amen.
The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You just walk away from a bad investment. You just walk away. You've invested so much time and so much energy. And at the pastor's luncheon this week, I was able to have a real nice conversation with Brother Adam Fannin. He was telling me his testimony. He was talking to me about the internal struggle he was having. You know, he lived in Florida. And he couldn't find a church to go to. He couldn't find anywhere to go to. He knew he had to move. And he was telling God all these, you know, I need to do this, I need this. And he was telling God, like, before I move, I need a wife, I need this, I need that, I need to have all my ducks in a row and blah, blah. And he realized, like, man, I'm never going to get out of here. And one day he just said, you know what, God, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to do it. I've got a lot invested in there. I love Florida. I don't want to leave Florida. I don't even have a wife. I can't even find a wife. I need a career, and I need this, and I need that. I'm just going to move. And he moved. And you know, in a few short years, he has a wife, he has children, he's in Florida. He has a career. You know what Brother Fannin found? He found that when you're willing to walk away from a bad investment, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this.
Amen.
Psalm 37:4 says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You say, Pastor, who are you talking to this morning? Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm talking to the Bible college student. See, their pastor's listening to our sermons in secret, and then the Bible college kids are listening to our sermons in secret. I'm talking to the Bible college student who's at Golden Calf Baptist College right now and West Coast Baptist College right now. And he's getting educated, and he says, I'm listening. Yeah, I like to, but you don't realize I've already been here for 2 years. I've already invested a lot of money. I'm about to graduate. What should I do? You know, we preach a lot about Bible college, and we talk about how, like, the Bible doesn't talk about Bible college. You know, but we're a little bit wrong on that, because the Bible does talk a little bit about Bible college. Because, you know, the Bible was written by a Bible college graduate. Most of the New Testament was written by a Bible college graduate. The Apostle Paul. He went to Bible college. He had religious education. He had, you know, a formal religious education. And what did the Apostle Paul say about his education? Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Amen. Say, Pastor Jimenez, I got a Bible college degree. Count it but dung. Amen. Walk away from the investment. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't normally preach very long, but everybody else is preaching long. So I'm like, hey, lunch is at this time. You got to be done. It's like, whatever. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Say, Pastor Jimenez, who are you talking to this morning? I'm talking to the Christian who's not willing to suffer persecution for Christ. Doesn't the Bible say 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all they and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? Yeah. Who's stuck with it? You know, but I wasn't mad. Anybody that was coming here once every 6 weeks or once every other month and they decided to back off during that time, I wasn't mad at them. I understood that. There. But what shall be done with the 100 talents of lawsuit that might come? But what shall be done with my $100,000 job that I might lose? You know what? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. And then, you know, people want to come back 2 years later like everything's okay. Everything's not okay. Come back like, oh, nothing happened. No, something happened. You know, well, Pastor, you shouldn't take it personally. You know what? We had 700, 800 pedophiles outside of our church who wanted to destroy us, who wanted to mock us. And, you know, I thank God for the church people in our church that stood with us. I thank God for the other churches in this movement that stood with us and sent people to support us. But if everybody would have done like they did, if everybody would have sent me a text message on Saturday night saying I'm not going to show up like a coward like they did, it would have been a humiliation for the cause of Christ. Amen. If all the media would have showed up, 800 protesters and just me and my wife and my children, that would have been a humiliation and a reproach for the cause of Christ. If everyone would have done like they did. So no, I'm not over it. I'm not okay with it. It's not okay. You're not going to show up here for your Pastor Anderson Easter and act like everything's fine. It's not. You're a yellow belly. You're a coward. You're spineless. You probably sit on the toilet to piss like a woman. Yeah, I'm mad about it. Yea, all they that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Praise God, we've got some men with backbones around here that stuck with it and stuck with us. Amen. And everybody else said, well, I got to quit because I might get sued, and I got to quit because I might lose my job. You know what? Get out of here and go down to the liberal church down the street. We don't need you. Amen. Because we found out that you can suffer loss, but the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amen. We found out that God takes care of it. We found out that God does it. We found out that God fights the battles. Go back to 2 Chronicles 25. 2 Chronicles 25. 2 Chronicles 25. Look at verse 11. 2 Chronicles 25, 11 says this, and Amaziah strengthened himself. Remember, they got mad at him. They said, what? You're going to listen to the man of God? You already invested 100 talents into this thing. Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote off the children of Seir, 10,000. Another 10,000 left he alive, did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock. Anybody who tells me the Bible's boring has never read the Bible. It's better than your little Spider-Man. They took them to the top of a rock and cast them down from the top of the rock that they all were broken in pieces. You know what Amaziah found out? He didn't need the 100,000 soldiers. The Lord was able to give him much more than this. Go to Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at two passages in Luke. We'll be done. Two passages in Luke. We'll be done. Luke 17. People tell me, Pastor Jimenez, and if you said this to me, I'm not chastising you. I appreciate the encouragement. People say to me, Pastor Jimenez, you know, you've suffered a lot for the cause of Christ. You've borne a lot for the cause of Christ. You know, you've suffered a lot of persecution. You know, the truth of the matter is, and I appreciate the encouragement. I'm not chastising you for saying that. But the truth of the matter is that we haven't suffered anything for Christ. The truth is, are you there in Luke 17? Look at verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? What will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, for we have done that which was our duty to do. We have a church in Vancouver. We love those people up in Vancouver. I mean, over the last couple of years, they've just became our family. Not just spiritually, just family. And they thank us, and they write notes, and they say thank you, you know, for taking the time and energy, and it was a sacrifice, and I appreciate their thankfulness, but you know, honestly, at the end of the day, all we've done is our duty. Amen. Church in Boise, thank you, Pastor, and I appreciate their encouragement, but at the end of the day, all we've done is our duty. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, based on what God has done for me and what Jesus has done for me, it's just reasonable. It's reasonable that I give him my life, my body, my soul, that I present it all to him. It's not exceptional. Right. See, some of you, you're patting yourself like, man, I went to church Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I even showed up to soul winning. I don't go soul winning back home, but I showed up when at the conference. God must be really happy with me. No, you've just done your reasonable service. You can count yourself an unprofitable servant because you've done your duty. You've done what you should have done. You've done what you've been commanded to do. You've done what God has called you to do. Go to Luke chapter 18. We're done right here. Luke 18, look at verse 28. Luke 18, 28. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Pastor, you know, I realize I moved to Steadfast and I moved to Old Paths and I moved to, you know, this church and that church. I left everything behind. You didn't leave nothing. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parent or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. You know what Jesus was saying? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. So here's a question I have for you. Here's a question I have for you. I did my best to apply this sermon to as many areas as I could think of. But I'm not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit might have been dealing with you today about some investment that you've been making. And you've just invested a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money into something. And you know, God wants you to walk away. What is it? What is it? Hey, Pastor, what would you say to that individual? I would say this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for these stories in Scripture, these great stories that encourage us and convict us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to not be unprofitable servants. I pray you'd help us to do our duty. And Lord, when we have to walk away from an investment, when we've just invested money, time, energy, resources, emotions into the wrong thing, Lord, I pray you'd help us to walk away from it. I pray you'd help us to leave it. I pray you'd help us to exercise faith. When we ask the question, but what shall be done for the 100 talents? Lord, help us to realize that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. We love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just want to remind you real quickly, we'll have Brother Matt come up and